We are studying the word of knowledge still, and it struck me after yesterday that that I haven't talked about something that may be critical. So let me see if we can understand knowledge. And remember, we're only concerned with what God considers knowledge and what God considers wisdom, because he desires us to confess with the Lord Jesus Christ, or confess Jesus. Again, that doesn't mean to confess him. Remember, it means to speak the same thing and to see the same thing. Now, and that's what the mind of Christ is about, that you might be in the same place that he was. Not to have bunches of power and authority and but to be in the same mind as Christ. It's the rarest thing in the universe. It's rarer than the knowing that there is life on other planets. And yet it's the simplest of all things. And so from knowledge, from our perspective, we believe that the word knowledge means, you know, something that we have. From God's perspective, knowledge means seeing as Christ sees. Now, in order to understand what it means to see as Christ sees, we have to understand better what John the Baptist did. So let's go to Matthew chapter 3.
Just thinking as you said that, it's like we must confess. We can't do it out of our own knowledge. We can't say, oh, this is what Christ would say, so I'm going to do it, or what would Jesus do, what would Jesus say? It can't be that.
No, it can't.
Be that medium.
No, it can't be cited. It just has to be.
Yeah, it has to happen.
It can't be referenced. It just has to be. And it's up to the people that hear to search the scriptures daily to see whether these things be true. Everybody understand that? In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to this baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers. Now that literally means the same thing that Jacob saw when he confessed to the angel that he was the way of the snake. When he called them the generation of vipers, he called them, you sons of the snake. And he wouldn't baptize anybody that didn't recognize that they were the sons of the snake. That's why he took them to the other side of the Jordan. And by doing so, they confessed that they were not worthy to be anything. They confessed that they were not worthy to be in the promised land. And when he baptized them, it was their death, their burial. Now,
I have a confession. I've never been baptized with that understanding.
This is very important Pentecost thing.
Yeah, that's just as crystal as can be right now.
That's great. Now, let's stop here and go to Malachi. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. It was 400 years from the time of Malachi to the time of John the Baptist and Christ. During that period of time, that 400 years, there was no prophesying in the kingdom of Israel. There was no knowledge in the kingdom of Israel. There was no wisdom in the kingdom of Israel. They just happened to survive. And the only reason they survived was so that John the Baptist could be born first, and then he would proclaim Christ. They had no other purpose in being. So in Malachi, chapter 4, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven." Now, this is the same thing that Ezekiel saw when he looked out at Egypt and he said, "The Egypt is on fire." It's the same thing that you must see when you look out at the world. It is on fire. It is a slow burn. We call that burn entropy or rust or aging. But in from a chemical standpoint, the world is burning. Now, it's only the mercy of God that has allowed us and allowed it to be perceived as a slow burn. Because if it was a real burn, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, we would have been toast, literally. Because none of us deserve a second of His mercy. When we see it rain, you should see that the rain is really, for you, it should be the fire and brimstone raining. That's what you deserve. That's what you and I deserve. And so His mercy has allowed this expansion of time so that the burning is slow enough so that there can be repentance by His people. What? So you can never again be right. He was sitting there. Everything was going fine. He had a new shirt on, flannel. He's got socks with his sandals.
Properly by that.
It's the Levite, and it, by the way, when he stands up, did you notice that the flannel shirt is long enough so you can't tell he has shorts on underneath? Looks like he's walking around naked. What started all this?
I think you got off course.
I think it's Tourette's.
Tourette syndrome. By the way, we had a board of directors meeting last night, and it.
Speaking of Tourette syndrome, the
entire board is Tourette-ed.
And I was thinking about that. I'm glad you said so. I was thinking about that a little while ago. Will the notes reflect the comment about what a good job the staff has done?
No. Any other questions? Any other questions or comments? It really does look like you're naked underneath that. That's just disgusting to think about. "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." Now, that's critical. Because he's now going to start talking about the ministry of John the Baptist, and John the Baptist is going to say that now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. The axe was laid to the root of the human race at the baptism of Jesus Christ. I promise you, let's go on. "They shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked one. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." Now he has done this. This isn't something we're waiting to happen. This is what happened at the cross. Now from everything in the universe, all value systems, everything, are ashes under our feet. That's why Darden sent me this, sent us this proclamation that's coming up in the Southern Baptist Convention, or maybe it's already come up. Anyway, hopefully it's going to be the loser if we can decide which Baptist to write it. But it's this whole idea that we've got to protect our children. We've got to keep them from the godless school system. I mean, it's like, I don't even think they read the same Bible. The axe has been laid to the root of the tree. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Now behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Elijah the prophet, if you see, was what, not reincarnated. Elijah was manifested in John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, according to Christ, is this is Elijah, if you can hear. Now, Elijah was the prophet, but since there is no more prophecy in the New Testament, the prophet and the word of knowledge are the same thing. Remember I told you there are only two men, and we'll see this in a second, there are only two men that have never died. And they're so perfectly typical to what we're talking about. The only two men that have never died in the Scriptures are who?
Enoch,
and he represents wisdom, the word of wisdom. And Elijah represents the word of prophecy. And we know the form in which that, I mean the word of knowledge. And we know the form in which the word of knowledge is taking because he is manifested in John the Baptist. Now, I don't think I've ever talked about this before. I've talked all around it, but can you all see this? Does anybody have any questions? So to understand the word of wisdom, we have to understand Enoch. To understand the word of prophecy, we have to understand Elijah. And we can only understand Elijah by reading his ministry, but we can also read his manifestation, not his reincarnation, in John the Baptist. So if you want to know about the word of knowledge, study Elijah. If you want to know further, study John the Baptist and study his words, and they will blow you away. All right, now watch. Behold.
And the preaching of the cross is the ministry of Elijah.
Right.
And the ministry of John is
the same. The axe has been laid to the root of the tree. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is Jesus Christ, and he's called here the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Why? Because it is the worst news the human race can ever hear. And he shall turn the heart of the Father to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. All right, now let's go to Matthew 3. He's the same one that what we just read in Matthew earlier about the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. That's from Isaiah. Now we have also heard what Malachi the prophet said of him. Verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, O sons of the snake, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet or necessary for repentance. Bring forth fruit necessary to leave yourself behind. Bring forth fruit necessary so that you can be baptized as the tangible, tactile manifestation of your burial. Anybody understand this?
It's wild that so much of John Baptist was doing all this stuff and saying these things, and he's commenting and fulfilling that stuff in Malachi. Well, of course, the other stuff too, but I hadn't noticed in Malachi is all this, you know, chaff and stuff like that.
Amen.
And then he says, you know, he's going to come with a fan in his hand and, you know, all this stuff being burned up. He was saying, this is the fulfillment of all that.
Amen. Bring forth, therefore, fruits, meat for repentance. That's what all that you and I can do is the ministry by word of knowledge of John the Baptist. That's why at Passover, I ask how many of you are ready to drink Elijah's cup. But to drink Elijah's cup means that your head has to be cut off. There's no more reliance on your emotions or your mind or your will. You walk in 100% dependence. Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So what? It's like God is able of this dirt to raise up Adam, but Adam failed. Abraham failed. All the best that they could do was to show us a picture of this one singular mystery of the kingdom of God. And that's what I want from you, is to be able to see that always, never not see it. No matter what situation you're in, whether you hurt or whether you're happy or whether you're rich or whether you're poor or whether... It doesn't matter. It's not part of the equation because it's His test. It's not about you. What?
So the best thing we can hope for in a way is repentance. It's like I read a book one time about how the monks sang, you know, years ago. And the way I was describing that book, I was like, that is really a picture of harmony and a, you know, a Christian body. And we don't have that. And maybe someday. And I always sort of secretly hope that that's down the road. Of course, by God's power, but you know, I retain that hope that we'll have that expression. But that's an add-on.
Well, that's the same reason you and I are the same. I wanted us to all move to the desert so we could, you know, really get it right. But the point is, those guys they were just muzzled dogs. They still barked, but they were muzzled. And that's the most important thing, is to look good.
Would we have ropes?
Huh?
Would we have hooded ropes?
Yeah, but you have to wear underwear.
Long.
I'd hate to listen to this on tape. God help those people. Where am I? Think not to say within yourselves, we have... I was a rhetorical question, Ronnie. chapter 3, verse 9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. The trees that he laid the root to were the tree, the human race. That's what we just saw in Malachi. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. By definition, that's a nonsensical statement, because if you lay the axe to the root of the tree, it can no longer bear fruit. Therefore, it's axiomatic that if it cannot bear fruit, it had to have a new tree planted, a new being, so that you no longer are concerned with yourself in any dimension. Are the image of the way we think things might be if we were really good. And I mean, I'm as guilty as this as everybody is. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So that means the only thing that isn't in the fire is that which proceeded from eternity. That which isn't subject to fire. That which is incorruptible by any means. And that's what it means to be born again. Born from above. Existent from the first estate. Only He has immortality. That's why the mystery that has been hid from all ages and all generations is Christ in you. the hope of glory. That's why you must, above all things, examine yourself. Prove that you're in the faith. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate and incapable of repentance, because you don't know there's a way and a life by which you can give no thought for yourself, and that life will live and soar and be with absolutely no help on your part. That's the gospel.
This made me think of what you're talking about now, the burning bush that's on fire but not subject to the flame.
It's exactly the same thing. The burning bush was a picture of us being burned up. The fires on the day of Pentecost that appeared above, it wasn't fire, it was the appearance of fire. And it was the appearance of fire because it was the flaming swords that are guarding the mystery from any flesh. So the best and closest your mind can get to is just nothingness. That's all the Scripture says from the beginning to the end. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost as one baptism, but the Holy Ghost baptism isn't the baptism of fire, as it's done in, it's another baptism. There are three baptisms, a baptism in water, repentance, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, empowerment, but the baptism of fire is the burning away of everything, except that which cannot be burned away. The shaking of everything except that which cannot be shaken. And that's only Christ.
Oh, that's what Paul was talking about when he talked about any man build and be tested by fire and the hay and the stubble, the wood goes away. But
he shall be saved. That's why I glory when these idiots preach Christ. Because they're spiritual numbskulls, but at least they're preaching his name. What? Huh? What'd you do?
I like the word numbskull. It's a good word.
I'm glad you approve. He shall baptize you. I need ratification periodically.
I like the word tort.
Huh? Tort. Tort's a good word.
Tortious. Certainly not beatification.
He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan, this is what John was talking about, the threshing floor has already started. This isn't going to come someday. It came when Christ fell into the ground. The threshing began. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat. Remember, now it's not the barley harvest of Passover, now it's the wheat harvest of Pentecost. And gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Again, the fulfillment of what we saw in Malachi. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness, that means he caused the sacrifices in the temple to cease. Their need to be there, the temple now lost its purpose forever. Because the baptism of repentance was the foreshadowing of his burial. God, I hope you see this. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is so awesome. It's so complete. It's so... It has nothing to do with the human race. It has nothing to do with any system of thought. Because all of that became foolishness when Christ appeared. Hallelujah. If you only knew Him who we have dealings with, and knew what you contain, and knew what you're about, and could see just for a brief moment of time you from God's standpoint, there would never again be a murmur. There would never again be a complaint. There would never again be a thought that wasn't taken into captivity. There would never again be an emotion that you didn't ignore. Because now you have been chosen, especially before the foundation of the world, to be the vessel of the Holy One. And now you can sleep and rest at night without any anxiety is now impossible. Worry and concern is just beyond the pale. It's impossible to want. It's impossible to need. This is the mystery that has been hid from all generations. Still hid. But He's chosen us to give it to. What a glory. What an honor. I'm going to... I get a star. I'm special.
I have these little frog stickers.
A frog sticker?
Kids get stickers.
I don't want your frog.
I have good faces in SpongeBob.
I wished I had never, ever, I wish, God help me, I can just imagine what's about to happen. I wish I'd never said that. Take it back, erase it from the tape. Anybody have any response?
That this is so clear, so beautiful.
Yeah. Gary, any response?
Yeah, this is a pretty good Bible study.
So now you can see. Remember what I've said before: if no one that doesn't understand baptism can baptize, and somebody can only take you as far as they've gone.
So all the baptisms he's done,
they're void and null. They're null and void baptisms. No, they're not. They're not. Their baptism isn't. No. That's not. I'm just kidding, Gary. The baptisms are real.
Oh, I know, but that was great. The idea of seeing yourself as a snake, it just really hit me hard that that's what you need to see. Otherwise, why die?
Can you understand why I've always said that there wasn't a snake in the garden? There wasn't a talking little slithering animal. It's just a picture of you.
Yeah.
You were in the garden.
Yeah, crawling right up my back.
Crawling and tempting Eve.
Yeah.
There wasn't another being tempting Christ. It was you tempting Christ. It was you that killed Abel. It was me that chased the righteous and killed the righteous. This is who we are. This is why we have to die. Any response, Bojo? Any, at least an amen? Is there an amen? All right. Take it, big guy.